Thank you.
Did anyone else get notice that they wouldn't be attending besides?
I did not hear from anybody else.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to open the September Developmental Disabilities Advisory Board meeting. We don't have a quorum, but that doesn't stop us from discussing some of the issues and listening to some folks. Looks like our first presenter is not here yet or may not arrive. But Trish, can you go over the autism employment project?
I'd be happy to. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Before we do it, any community input?
Sure.
Well, I do have one thing. I'm sorry.
Please.
I wanted to announce that we're doing our Leadership Development Academy. It will be starting in October, and I have flyers for everyone. So I will leave those over here in case anybody's interested in participating. And I apologize they didn't all get printed. Thank you so much. In color. But there's some. So please share with anyone that you think may be interested.
Oh, it's okay. Oh, this is more comfortable.
We'll talk a little bit more about that in a couple of minutes. We'll put that on the later part. So, Trish, can you please go over the autism project?
Absolutely. So, as you may recall, we recognized a need to invest in autism and employment training for our employment agencies. I do a survey periodically of the employment agencies to ask what they would like training on, and autism has been high on the list for a number of years. So to that end, we invested in an autism and employment project. And so this is the report, the first year report. So what we did is, the objectives of the project were to increase the number of people with autism in Clark County who are employed, increase the competency and confidence of employment agencies to work with people with autism, and to provide better service, to provide services based on promising practices within the field of autism and employment. So to that end, we contracted with national expert James Emmett to provide training and consultation on social coaching and career assessment, reviewing plans, workplace support, social coaching in the workplace, creating business partnerships, and doing in-person observations and recommendations. So he did stand and deliver training, and he also did some individual consultations with the agencies. Each of the agencies identified at least one, some agencies identified two people to focus on as part of the project. It was a year-long. Well, this was the first year project around August 2018 through June 2019. Each of the agencies came up with one or two individuals to be focused on. So 10 customers total were identified. 23 staff received training and consultation, and that occurred four times in the course of the project. One day was spent doing kind of a standing training, and the second day was spent doing a consultation. Seven agencies participated in the training, and five customers also received individualized technical assistance, which was part of the project design that Monica Meyer, a local expert in the field of autism, would be providing support as well to the agencies in the project. So let's see. So the outcomes of the project. So our objectives were to increase the number of people with autism in Clark County who are employed. And so as a result of the project, or two of the people that were identified in the project got jobs. So we're happy to see that. We would like to see more. But the participants noted that job seekers benefited indirectly from the project as well.
How did they benefit?
So when they were talking about the benefits, I'll get into like how the service was provided. So I think that might answer your question. So one of the objectives was to provide better service. So The participants reported enjoying the collaboration, reported an increase in skill about how to talk to employers about barriers. They provided more visual supports, collaborated to include outside views and help when stuck. They understand better what natural supports are, and teaching staff as well as employers that natural supports aren't just a person. They used new tools with clients, learned to give extra time when giving directions, made note cards of common rules within the workplace for customers using the hidden curriculum, and familiarized customers with the 5-point scale. So these are all kind of promising practices that the agencies are implementing as part of this project. So I think that that's kind of how, when the participants say that other people benefited kind of indirectly, that's what they mean, is that they are providing additional supports in different, new and different ways than they had before. We wanted to increase the competency and confidence with the employment agencies to work with people with autism. The trainings were highly rated, and the providers reported that the training and technical assistance was helpful in terms of supporting their job seekers and target companies. And they also reported learning new techniques to approach businesses and develop relationships with new companies. So the next steps that we have is to design year two of the Autism and Employment Project. It will include trainings by Monica Meyer. So one of the things that was identified in the course of the training was that there were some skills that the agencies needed that weren't provided by James Emmett, but that Monica Meyer could provide. So we're definitely going to go forward with some of those trainings. And we are designing what the relationship with James Emmett will look like in the future. So that's kind of where we are with the Autism and Employment Project. Any questions? Any other questions?
Are they going to, they're going to be doing phase two or the second year. How are they going to disseminate some of the lessons learned to other groups or organizations that maybe tangentially work with people with intellectual or cognitive issues?
Oh, well.
Aren't necessarily directly involved.
You know, I think that the agencies, so each of the agencies had an agency implementation plan that they developed, which talked about how if a staff person from an agency, you know, all of the staff from all of the agencies did not attend, right? So there were a few key staff that attended from each agency that participated, and so each of the agencies had a plan for how to bring that back to their own agencies. Agencies also would be working with businesses in the community and different organizations that hire or potentially could hire people with disabilities, so they'll definitely be using that. James Emmett provided us with a disability inclusion in the workplace PowerPoint presentation that we are free to make our own and go forward and deliver that presentation to businesses and other organizations. I know it's been delivered at least two or three times. I delivered it once to the local WorkSource, and it was very positively received from them, and they thought that it had great information, which I agree. And so far as other organizations, I'd be open to any ideas about if there's other organizations that you feel like would benefit from this information, or if we could share information with.
Well, I think that maybe some of the concepts could be translated or adapted to people without disabilities or may have chronic unemployment or other issues that are a barrier to employment. So agencies like the Private Industry Council, WorkSource, you know, your traditional employment related agencies, the Veterans Association, you have services for the blind, vocational rehabilitation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I think that we're open to partnering with other organizations in the community.
You know,
absolutely,
the
yeah.
Practices.
Yeah.
Is that copyrighted or is it open source?
What was the question?
Is it copyrighted or is it open source? Because like Walt says, you can just share it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure how, I mean, I imagine that we could share it. I don't know that it's copyrighted. I don't, as far as I know, it's not. I just wonder the benefit of just like saying, here, take this, look at it, you know, so that's going to be my question. With the county, Clark County.
Okay, so that's public entity, which means it's all.
Yes, absolutely. So it certainly is. And one of the things that we have is in a new partnership with WorkSource. WorkSource has come and talked to the advisory board, and I went and did this disability inclusion presentation, which I think that we could definitely do that more. And one of the things that I've learned in the work with the WorkSource is that the people that currently are unemployed and approaching the WorkSource, almost most of the people that are going there have some kind of barrier to employment. So I think that they're very interested in our strategies and the things that we know about supporting people with intellectual and developmental disabilities to help find jobs. So I think that's kind of along the lines of what you're, yeah.
I'll share something with you, Trish.
Yeah.
I work with People First Training. We did a community inclusion type deal. We did what's called Mixed Voices on community inclusion. One of the activities we did on community inclusion was called Our Two Cents Is Worth It. And what we would do is we would sit down, and if everybody that contributed what their idea of what inclusion is, what they'd have one idea or two ideas on what their idea of inclusion would be, and then they would get 2 pennies because their contributing factor is called Our Two Cents Is Worth It. And it was a really good activity. I thought we did that with a lot of different boards, and we got a lot of different feedback off that. They thought that was pretty decent what we did activity-wise.
All right. Cool. Yeah. So happy to share whatever. If anybody wants it, we're happy to share the information.
Well, I actually think if you're talking about sharing, the drivers in C-TRAN, there's those strategies that you would use in an employment situation are similar to what you would use with customers getting on a bus.
Okay, I guess I'd have to see.
Yeah, and I mean, we might even build something into the next year that would be a presentation that might go out to community partners or have something that we would open up that could be, you know, open and kind of generic enough to invite community partners to. I think that's a great idea.
Any?
Yeah.
Any other questions, points? Trudy, your necklace strain?
I was just going to point out that Trudy had joined us probably back for kind of the community input side of things. She has on the.
Please.
Thank you. I have great news about Temple Grandin. She's going to be in Portland, Oregon on October 30th at 5:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Oregon Convention Center. And tickets are available, so I don't know.
Do you think she'd come early?
I don't know. I know she's going to be in town.
What were the dates again?
Wednesday, October 30th at 5:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. And that's at the Oregon Convention Center. So the evening with Dr. Temple Grandin.
Well, I wonder if she'd come early.
Yeah.
And do something on the 29th.
Yeah, so I can see if there's a way to contact her, but she's coming. And then also some people may be interested in going to the Chavez. Some people may be interested in going to here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We should announce that after the October 2nd.
Yeah. So if we can.
So do you guys want to share who that is for maybe everybody that might not know?
Temple Grandin, you all know, is there anybody out there that doesn't know who she is? Besides
So Temple
Grandin. I'm thinking about the Gilling Buffs, would you like to know about that?
Temple Grandin would like to know about that, She is a brilliant individual who happens to experience autism. And she has in her life developed many different things along the line of cattle transportation. And from that, she also does some autism consultation kinds of things. But last time Mary told me to call her, she told me, I do cattle. I don't do autism. You guys need to get this straight. I do cattle. So.
And she do cats. We have all the government.
We do have cats. But she is amazing. And there's been a movie about her, and she's since wrote many books. And really, in her ability to sense and connect with animals and think about how animals might feel, actually, it helps us individuals maybe understand how other people feel. So I didn't say that very well, but
no, okay.
Her first book, I think, was Thinking in Pictures.
Yeah.
And it was kind of an explanation about how someone with autism might have different processes for thinking, that actually there are people without autism that
think in like pictures,
that too. Yeah. So, but she's done a lot of brain.
She's amazing. And her mother was quite amazing too, talking about her life and all of that.
Well, because she grew up in an institutional era.
Right.
Where she's lucky she didn't get institutionalized.
Do you have a contact number for her?
You know, that's been several years ago. I contacted the university she was working at.
Oh, and she answered, University of Northern Colorado.
Yeah, she answered the phone, so.
$60 pre-registered.
How much is it?
$60 pre-registered. You buy the tickets now, 70 at the door.
Oh. Part of a conference, I think.
And who's the sponsoring agency? Or is there a sponsor?
Oh, they've got it.
Yeah. So I think if you probably look on that website, you can probably get a number to contact and find out how to get to the temple.
Trudy knows how to get
that's
people.
That's kind of a long shot. Yeah. I'll maneuver.
Thank you, Trudy.
Thank you, Trudy.
That was fast.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah. Have a great night.
So I have, while it's not all legislative, I have state-level information to share with you. They are Representative Moss Brooker from the Yakima area. They always change districts, so I'm like, I don't think it's 15, not 14 at this point in time, district that she's in, is looking at creating an Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities Caucus. And it said that they will be meeting for an informal lunch on a weekly basis so that we will then have legislative caucus that's really focused on intellectual and developmental disabilities. There is some powers that be say it's a done deal, and other powers that be say no, it's still in the works. So stay tuned. The House Education work session yesterday on secondary transition planning on special education. We do not have the details of how that came out, but at least they're looking at it, talking about it, and work moving forward. Our legislature is not very happy with our governor at the moment and is a little upset by some of his vetoes. So there's some legal issues rolling forward from that. DRW, which is Disability Rights of Washington, is in the process of suing DSHS and the Healthcare Authority over the number of individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities who are living in the hospitals without a medical need due to lack of community resources.
Why are they suing the legislature? Because they haven't put funding in any place where people can.
Yeah. And so that's where that is right now. I don't know. So one of the things that we've been working on a federal level and on a state level is they're looking at rolling forward CMS requirement, is looking at rolling forward something called EVV. It's electronic verification. I don't know what the second V is for. Anyway, so that when an individual provider or provider goes into an individual's home, they'll have to sign in on their phone to log in and then sign out. This is already rolling forward across the states. This is a real issue for parent providers and for live-in providers, because how are you going to know when you're logging in and when you're logging out? And are you going to be calling them, you know, 45 times a day to log in and log out? So we've done a whole lot of work with our federal delegation, who then decided to put it up to the states to make their decision on whether or not live-in providers would be required to do EVV. We believe, we've done quite a few letters to the governor and stuff here in Washington State, and we believe that Washington will opt for parent and live-in providers to not have to do the EVV, but that has not been officially announced yet. So.
And the purpose of this is safety, correct?
It's not safety, it's to make sure that the providers are showing up and doing what they're indeed being paid to do. It's a time clock.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's just kind of keeping more
tabs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is interesting because, anyway, it's interesting.
Accountability too.
It is accountability.
So you're saying you're against EVVs?
No, I didn't say that. It would be really difficult for live-in providers.
Yeah, that's someone.
Yeah, yeah. If you're not a live-in provider, it makes a lot more sense. But for live-in providers, it would be pretty difficult to do. And so that's where we're looking at. The other thing is that the ARC of Washington State was contacted by, I believe, the city manager of Shoreline, somebody at the city of Shoreline, and letting us know that DSHS has made plans to spread buildings sprawling across all of the Faircrest land.
What?
And while that is an issue for us, because there, right now there is a land trust fund that says any unutilized or underutilized land would then go back to the DD trust fund to fund services. And so there is a work group that's supposed to be going forward and supposed to be starting next month that, to make decisions on how this is being done, because there was this push me, pull me around that land last year. And now there is a map of buildings and stuff that are sprinkled throughout all of the land, so that you couldn't say any large piece of it was being underutilized or unutilized. So there's some frustration and some concern around that, and there, I'm sure there will be much more about that to come.
Is that legal?
Well, that's one of the questions we're going to be checking on. So, anyway.
It's the largest undeveloped piece of land in an urban area in the country.
And they're assuming it's about $5 million per acre is the value of that land.
Oh. So my question is, who if that does happen, who benefits from all that?
Well, the city of Shoreline would like to see housing, which is kind of why they're concerned about it. The ARC of Washington wants to see whatever it's used for, that the funds thing from that come back to developmental disabilities. And it appears that they may have found a way to sidetrack both of those and do something separate.
When you say they, who is they?
I believe DSHS. So who actually, the state owns the land. So it is their land. So it's very disappointing and very frustrating.
The RHC?
The RHC.
The institution.
Yeah, but there has not been the work group that has come together to meet on it yet, which I believe was put in legislation to happen last year.
So are they going to develop state-operated living? Is that what they're developing?
For the mental health.
For mental health.
For mental health.
Not for developmental disability. Oh, okay. So everybody's going to be angry, and Representative Chop, our previous speaker, tried to give some of the land for a free dog park.
So anyway, it's kind of a situation that's arising and just being stirred up. So I just wanted to let you know. Stay tuned for that too.
So should we communicate with our local representatives and ask them what they know, or, you know, what their position is?
I think it would be good for us to get additional factual information in writing, and then perhaps maybe write a letter to our local legislators.
There it is.
Let's get the facts for us.
Yes, get all of the facts, right, in writing from the powers that be.
Could we subpoena the secretary of TSA? Too many lawyer would be something.
Yeah, I was going to say, I could call her and ask her.
Development, we need to talk, so I can.
Yeah.
And you know, we'll have legislative meetings coming up in December, January, and that's the perfect time to say something.
And peace this year, since it's an off season, it's not an election year, we'll be doing legislative teas and coffees in the different districts as well, if anyone wants to join us for those. They have not been scheduled as of yet, but we're looking at the end of October, 1st of November.
And we usually do it later.
Yeah.
Any questions from the board?
And are there any other, it's not a budget year, so this is partly on the agenda, so you'll start thinking for November about legislative agenda. Again, it's not a budget year. There are things we just chronically have on there because many of the
Well, and the parent coalitions met with Evelyn Perez, who's the head of DDA, and the office chiefs last week, and gave them some messages that we're hearing from families. But one of the things that, as we've had all these different conversations at different levels, you know, developmental disabilities is the only social service in Washington State that is not forecasted. And so if we could get developmental disabilities forecasted in the forecast, that in and of itself would be a huge help. Then when we go and advocate, we can advocate for additional funds instead of the funds that should automatically be being forecasted for our individuals.
Excuse me, what is that forecasted?
So each year they forecast, like for the schools or for seniors or different social service organizations, they get the data points to see how many individuals they anticipate serving the next year. And then the budget is built on that. With developmental disabilities, we have a flat budget and we have to go advocate for each increase.
But you said schools are forecast. I know, like for example, where my grandson, they don't build schools big enough because they don't forecast. And then they have to add stuff all the time.
Well, there's about 78% of that's why the McCleary thing.
There's two times a year that they do a count for the school districts, one in the fall and one in the late spring. And from those counts, then they project, and then somehow they figure in the birth rates and different things, and then they project how many kids are going to be in which districts. They do the same for seniors, they do it for mental health, they do it for
the money for the infrastructure doesn't come from
the state, right.
That comes from local property taxes and bonds and things like that. So if the voters, like Battleground, for example, has not been able to pass, they might have passed one bond since my children were in that district, but they haven't passed the levy since the year before I moved into that district when Adrian was in California.
Yeah,
at least. So the school that was new that my children went to is now the oldest school in the district and perceived as unsafe. But they have no money to do anything.
Anything else?
No more.
Any questions from the audience?
Just the usual amazement. What you get involved in.
There is a committee that's meeting around, I'm actually on the executive committee for a funding crisis group that's meeting around the funding crisis for Developmental Disabilities Administration, knowing that they really are struggling to go after their own funds. And we're 39th to 41st, depending upon which study you look at in the nation in funding and...
Per capita.
Per capita, yeah. And so there is that group meeting as well as multiple other work groups around other things. So yeah, it's interesting.
Well, the next item is the October event. And that's next month, as a matter of fact, just a little bit under 30 days. We had a productive session where we were able to look at the employees, the employers, and everything that people had nominated for recognition. And it was...
It was impressive.
It was. Yeah. It was gratifying to see the volume of nominees and also the diversity of experience, time that they work, the types of jobs that people are doing, the types of businesses that support them. So I'm thinking that it's going to be a very rewarding event.
Well, what would you say? I mean, because we've always wanted our word finally get out to get more people turn in something.
I don't know, but it was a huge stack, which was exciting.
They did a great job. Yeah. I mean, seriously, we had 21 employee nominations.
Wow.
And so,
You can't tell.
I can't tell?
No, you can't tell who.
No.
I wasn't going to.
Okay.
Jeez. Sound like Teresa. What's really interesting from my point of view is the diversity of work environments, the diversity of length of time that people have been working in some of these positions.
So it's a celebration.
It is, and I really want to thank the employment agencies that took the time to get the nominees, nominations to us, and I say that we really celebrate. I have at work a bunny costume, like a giant bunny costume that we could use.
For what?
Just as like a mascot, you know? We're breeding for success. very, very good.
So are we going to get an award for the agencies that give the most nominations?
Yeah.
Well, I think they have, Trish used to keep track. I think we're still keeping track, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's been a good year.
It's been a good year.
And if you could help us out, we have these invitations. If you could please give them out like Halloween candy.
Oh, yeah, take them from
your office. And
please. I gave it to them. I haven't given it to Carla.
I have a little bit, but not.
We have stuff right here. I threw down a challenge to the different city managers trying to get more participations, and we'll see if it bears any fruit. But basically, it's... try to come look at what opportunities are out there. So,
can I add one more thing about the nominations, which I thought has been interesting, and it kind of seems to have been a trend over the last few years. And I don't know if this is the agencies promoting this or if it's just the community knowing about the board's event and celebration of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities working. But I've noticed that there has been an increasing variety of entities who are doing the nominating. So in addition to our employment agencies who are nominating, this year, I think for the first time, I'm not sure if we've seen this before, an individual with a disability nominated their employer for the Employer of the Year Award. We've definitely seen more employers begin to nominate their employees for the award, so there's been little twists on the nominating that we're seeing, which I think is really kind of neat.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
That's the trend,
yes. Yeah.
Just about, well, did Woodland Care Center get any mention for any of the stuff that they've done?
I'm sorry, I was swore to verify.
But they should, because they take it on two now, they take it on myself and one other individual that also has an intellectual disability, and we are the two.
Well, you can nominate them.
Yeah, exactly.
I would love to see that happen. I think they deserve that.
Well, I'll be here to do that.
And please invite as many people as you can. The more packed it will be, and it's really gratifying for the people that are nominated to see that somebody cares. I mean, I'm special, and they are special. They've overcome and are overcoming some powerful things for the employers, the perceptions of people with disabilities, the employees, the perception of their capabilities. So it's a big deal. With that, I'll turn to the C-TRAN update. And the only thing I have.
Here's your hat.
My other hat, yeah. The agency has taken the administrative portions of it and moved over on 51st Circle. Just moved last week, so it gave a little bit more space. The building on 65th is going to be torn down, and in this torn down.
They're going to leave you in the.
They'll tear me down too, yeah. We'll still be in the operations trailer. And in its place will be three new maintenance bays that can accommodate 60-foot long vehicles and a three-story operations maintenance center. And that's where my offices will be in the future. But it's going to be 2 to 3 year process. So if people want to go to the administration office, lost and found, it's going to be on Northeast 51st Circle. It's where the Washington State Patrol is. It's near the YMCA.
State Farm was there originally.
Oh,
State
okay.
Farm was there. And if you go deeper on the number 80 bus, you can be dropped off right at our front door.
How have those new buses, how have they been doing?
They've been doing well. We're going to be purchasing another 12 of those for the Mill Plain bus rapid transit.
Was it German made, weren't they?
No, they have to be American made. They're actually new flyer buses.
Well, we'll see Tran be disposing of any vans in the future?
We started a new program probably about 4 months ago called Van Grant Program. And we distributed, I think it was 11 vehicles that were C-TRAN vehicles at one time that we surplus for new vehicles. And those were grabbed up by about 5 different organizations. There'll be more in the future. One of the things that Jean Ann with the Human Services Council was going to be talking about our featured speaker is about their program, which is the community access van and volunteer transportation. We will have in the next year and a half, depending on how quickly it can be manufactured, they will have a vehicle that interest groups can basically check out and use. The details I'll leave to Jean Ann and the Human Services Council. We're providing funding, and they'll have a lift equipped vehicle that can accommodate up to 10 people at the same time.
Are you thanking for the legislative?
For, yes, for taking individuals for advocacy days, and also as we continue to build our building independence, getting individuals out more in inclusive environments.
And if you want more information about it, I can contact the Human Services Council, Jean Ann. Yeah, she's the coordinator for that particular project.
And we've been in contact with her. I just didn't know if there was any smaller vans that were going to be dispersed of it anytime soon.
Right now, what we have available are the van pool vans.
Yeah.
Oh. But they're going to be auctioned. If you're interested in the auction site, you can get a good quality vehicle that's been very well maintained. The problem with auctions is auction fever. I don't know if you've ever been to an auction. I had a samurai sword for 10 years hidden in my attic so that boys or sons wouldn't find it because I got auction fever. And I took a bath on that. Was my venture into antiques that my wife does. It's a real thing.
Did you sell it?
Yeah, we did. I kept it for 12 years, and I sold it for a little bit less than I bought it.
Well, all things depreciate over time.
Not mine. I was going to, never mind. Can we talk about the Leadership Academy for Patrick?
Absolutely. Oh, that would be wonderful. So, right now,
yeah, sure.
Peace received a funding through the Developmental Disabilities Council to host a Leadership Academy, which will be one weekend a month, October through June. And so it's going to be a Friday night and a Friday night from 6 until 9, and then an all-day Saturday training for self-advocates, for professionals, and for family members. And it really is an experience in which it will boost your knowledge and your skill base about 10 years forward in developmental disabilities in Washington State and how to do advocacy to help out. And we would love for you to be able to come and participate. It is by application, but you just fill out an application and turn it in. And
okay, I'll see what I can do because I do work. So if I have to come in like a little bit late, you know, I wonder if I could actually do that.
Absolutely. And this year, unlike any other year, we're actually doing three counties simultaneously. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have live groups in all three counties, and then we're going to have, they're all going to be connected by Zoom. And the trainings will also then, because it's on Zoom, will be recorded. So if somebody has an emergency and is unable to attend that particular day, they'll be able to make up that session by watching it online. And that way we're going to be able to access more of the rural areas as well and get the training out to them as well as here in the urban area of Clark County.
Because yeah, I would definitely love to participate in something like that. It would be great. Yeah.
It's wonderful. Many of the individuals that have participated in it have gone forward and gotten positions as an advocate somewhere in the state, and so it's a wonderful opportunity. And then all the participants actually do an internship afterwards, which has started a lot of our incredible programs in our county as well. In Clark County since 1998, I believe, we've graduated like 122 participants out of our leadership development training.
Any new business, please?
Well,
or information?
Yeah. I have one more. Okay. I'm going to be speaking at EDA on the 24th.
Okay.
I asked Greg Molloy, I says, I want to do some public speaking because it's something I really like being able to do.
Uh-huh.
So I'm giving a 45-minute presentation at EDA on the 24th. It was supposed to be scheduled for 2 months back, but it got bumped back because something happened where everybody was out. So it got bumped to September. So September 24th, I'm going to be speaking at the.
What are you speaking about?
Just, you know, the need of what what services, what's effective, what works, what doesn't, kind of. It's going to be kind of like that, and then kind of sharing my own experiences of what's worked for me and what doesn't kind of deal. It's supposed to be a 45-minute presentation.
Now, Patrick, I expect that you'll, of course, mention multiple times about the October 2nd celebration.
You want to bring that new perspective?
Oh, I do.
I'm not sure that gets
me. Because the audience is an audience that is sympathetic. Let's start with a joke.
It's something I want to definitely do. I want to get into public speaking profession. It's more like a motivational type of deal.
Mary, you have something you want to
say? Well, it's time again for the family educator, the family training series. And so this year, we've changed the words on some things, but there's a lot of the same information, I think. Navigating the adult system, DVR participates, and DDA, the county and DVR, and Start Now, is that going to be, that's for middle school. Adult Life, what can it look, is that you?
Is it November?
Yeah.
Yep, I think it is.
Okay, that's you. And then it goes into Social Security and guardianship and things like that. Anyway, so this has gone out to some people. We need to get this out to folks too. Do you have it electronically?
Yeah, we have it. It's in the newsletter.
Oh, good.
As well as being put out on Facebook and several other places.
Yeah. And we're mailing it to families.
Mary, do you have additional copy?
One second for the school. Please.
Do you have an extra copy that I can have?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Here too.
Just in case.
Yeah, I imagine, you know.
Thank you so much for that. I usually do the PR presentation, so.
Well, it's really good. I think DVR was the first one to bring applications. Mm-hmm. And now DDA, I think, also brings applications, and that's really helpful to families when the applications are right there. I think it was Michelle that first got a long time ago, when she was here before. Anyway, everybody's invited. It's back at ESD, who has become kinder and gentler again. And so, it's all good.
Anything else from the board? Anything from the audience? Well, with that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I so move.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Even though we're not. Thank you all.